them. I think St. Paul said, being nice to people who hate you is like putting burning coals on their head. I don't know if necessarily he meant literally, but I think figuratively. But the idea of being nice to someone or being able to be not afraid, or to live your life openly and not afraid, what a blessing that is. And again, I'm not too sure, again, this applies to sheep. I just have this idea that the psalm begins with sheep, and we're to keep this relationship of shepherd and sheep in mind. But I do think as we get closer and closer to the end, it becomes more obvious that what David's talking about is really about his relationship with God, and not necessarily a shepherd-sheep kind of relationship. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Well, the Bible commentators have gone on to say, well, of course, sheep occasionally injure themselves. You know, their head gets caught on something, or they get a scratch, and of course, the shepherd uses oil in order to heal the sheep. Well, that's a better. I'm willing to believe that's a possibility. You know, that the shepherd has some sort of vial of oil, some healing medication, and that, you know, if a sheep is injured or damaged, the shepherd is going to find some way to bring healing to the sheep. That's certainly a possibility. But I'm going to also suggest there's at least one or two other possibilities. Anybody know why I chose the gospel message that I chose today? The particular, the birth narrative of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. Seems an odd choice in Lent to do that. What do you think the word Messiah means in Hebrew?
Is it anointed?
The anointed. From Jesus' birth, he's called, at least in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, we tend to think the Messiah is someone who does things, but it's also someone who has had something happen to them. He's special. He's been anointed of God. In this case, not necessarily as a baby yet, but the Messiah is one who has a special relationship with God as one who is anointed. And that's why I put it in there more than any other thing. Because you answered that in other ways, and it was useful. Jesus is anointed. The word for Messiah, actually, Messiah is a Hebrew word, but its root means anointed. And so, because you're anointed, God has something very special for you. So, curiously enough, you get the extra 10 points, Justin. What's the Greek name for the word Messiah? The Greek name, or the Greek word for the name Messiah. This is going to be so easy. You guys are going to feel terrible about it. You can't answer that, Justin. I'm telling you right now. Someone else. In Greek, the first letter is X. It's not pronounced X, but it is X. Jesus is Messiah, but he's also the Christ. Messiah and Christ are the same word. One is Hebrew, one is Greek. It means anointed. So when we say Jesus Christ, it's Jesus the Messiah. But we call him Christ because that's the Greek word instead of the Hebrew word. And in Greek, it starts with an X. And that's when people say, Happy Xmas. That comes from the Greek. It's not because it's secular. It was a time when people used the word, they used the Greek instead of the English. It's not like people want to make something secular, so they call it Xmas. It actually was, it predates any sale or any flyer that you've seen. We're not taking Christ out of Christmas if we call it Xmas, because X has to do with the CH sound in Greek. And so X means CH. In any case, it represents Christ. There were many people who were anointed of God with oil. If you go through the Old Testament, prophets were anointed, kings were anointed, but Jesus has a particular kind of anointing. He is the only one who is anointed in this particular way to be the Messiah. And certainly the scripture ends with his real name being called Jesus, which has a connection back to the Hebrew, which is connected with the word for God saves. God saves is the root or the source for Jesus.
And so he's not only the Messiah, but he's the Savior also. And it all happens in the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. So I've made those connections for you. Next year or later this year when Christmas comes, you'll be able to share those with others. Sheep are not normally anointed with oil. People are. Special people are. People who have special things to do for God are anointed with oil. And if you thought being anointed with oil was a bit of a stretch for Bible commentators, even more so, is my cup runneth over. Because shepherds don't carry a lot of cups with them. One of the Bible commentators went on to say, of course, the shepherd carries a large ceramic vessel with him, and he puts water in it, and as the day goes along, curiously by evaporation, the water stays cool in his vessel, and the sheep drink from it. I'm thinking, that must be one awful big vessel. That is one. He's dragging this thing along with him. He's got a rod and a staff, and he's dragging this very heavy ceramic thing around with him. It's just purely a stretch, folks. I tend to think that, you know, again, Bible commentators want to make it fit into this paradigm of good shepherd and sheep. Well, I think it's a simple phrase. I think when you say my cup runneth over, it's just a simple way of recognizing that God gives generously. And you can find a lot of places in Scripture where that's true, where God just simply gives generously. Someone wants a meal, and God gives him more than a meal. You think about the feeding of the 5,000. That's one of the greatest miracles in the New Testament. And so more than 5,000 people are fed, because in that gospel, we're told that there are 5,000 men. We don't know how many women and children. It's an enormous group of people. How are they fed with five fish and two loaves? Five loaves and two fish.
Which one it is.
Now, I want to go to the five and two. The five and two. It must be two fish and five loaves. It's a small lunch. It's not, you know, they were not dealing with very large fish in the Sea of Galilee. These were not enormous fish. So very small. You know, I always think about dinner rolls. These were kind of dinner rolls, and maybe a small fish of some sort. Small trout, small tilapia, you know, something small. But in any case, to feed that many people was a magnificent miracle. And that would have been enough, right? That would have been enough. Just to feed those 5,000 people, and maybe have some other people that were fed also, women and children. But you have 12 large baskets of leftovers. And I tend to think that this is where Tupperware came in. Afterwards. 12 large baskets of leftovers. Not only is there food for everyone, but there's 12 baskets left over. Where are you going to bring this? What are you going to do with this stuff that's left over? I don't have any idea. But God does it because he can. And it's a reminder that our God is a God of generosity, of abundance. You know, when Jesus changes water into wine at Cana, the containers that he fills that are filled with water that get changed into wine, something like 50 or 60 gallons apiece. That is an awful lot of wine. I think I once sat down and tried to figure out how much wine it was. It was certainly much more wine than any one of us would be able to drink over several days with a lot of our friends to come. But God does that. My cup runneth over. I've got way more than I thought I'd need. And that's the kind of God that we have. And that God applies not only to human beings, but to sheep. It's just that I don't tend to think that sheep have very, you know, don't have very many cups, and neither do shepherds. And we stop there. We stop there because that's the fifth verse. And we see a shepherd who begins with providing, with the assurance that he provides all that we need. And we as sheep are led through green pastures by still waters. Our souls are restored. He leads us in paths of righteousness and right behavior for his name's sake. Even though we recognize that there are valleys of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because we have our good shepherd with us. He not only defends us with his body, but certainly he has weapons as well. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And if that isn't enough, even more is available to us. He makes a table before us and allows our enemies to watch us eat. He anoints our head with oil as though we were kings. When the Old Testament, kings and prophets, and even the Messiah, would be one who would be anointed. Certainly, we heard last Sunday how Jesus' feet were anointed, were perfumed. It is entirely right and good to anoint a king with fragrant oil. But God anoints our head with oil. And certainly something good follows, and that'll be next week. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because I did that once before. Good things are available not only to sheep, but to those who follow the shepherd. And my hope for us as we hear this message this evening, we've begun a distance away. We've begun with the truth of a good shepherd. We've continued so far and been blessed richly by God. We are free from fear. And next Wednesday, we'll proclaim the blessings of God's presence among us and how God will allow us to rest with him forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join me now as we sing.